Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
I know many listeners have heard that singer Celine Dion has what is known as stiff person syndrome. Now, what is that exactly? Well, stiff person syndrome is a rare autoimmune neurological disorder that most commonly causes muscle stiffness and painful spasms that come and go and can worsen over time. However, some people experience other symptoms such as an unsteady gait, double vision, or slurred speech. Our guest today was diagnosed with stiff person syndrome, along with a number of other serious health issues over the years, which she's going to tell us about. And joining us from North Carolina is Robin, who does not want us to use her last name, so we'll call her Robin. Robin, thanks for doing this. We very much appreciate it.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, guys. Very excited.
Robin, at what point in your life did you notice that your health was deteriorating and causing you problems?
It started after I received anthrax vaccines in the military.
Oh, you were in the military and you got the anthrax.
Yes, and I got the anthrax vaccines like one of your prior episodes in 2021. Mm-hmm. And I was fine and healthy and running and playing soccer and doing all the things that a 25-year-old would do. But then I just started having to go to the doctor a lot with lots of different pains, which ended up in a lot of surgeries.
Oh, I just said, what kind of surgeries? What kind of conditions were you coming up with there that required that?
Well, I had a rotator cuff surgery. And because I had some cysts and it was a mess. And in the x-ray, they saw that I had a hole in my humerus. So I could have eventually, I love to bench press. Eventually, my humerus would have broken from all that weight.
Ooh.
And so I had no clue what was going on. And then I started, and I also had issues with ovarian cysts, fibroids, and I had neck surgery when I was 32. So mind you, all these surgeries were before I was 40.
Well, this is going back before in the 90s, right?
Everything started to go crazy in 2001.
Oh.
Yep.
It's when your health really started to go downhill?
Yes. Yes.
Did you put the connection at the time to the anthrax vaccine?
Not at all. Not at all.
You just thought, what the hell's happening to me?
Yeah. Well, you know, I attributed it to my job in the military. I had to do a lot of heavy lifting. And I was also lifting weights and running at home. And I had done that since high school. So I said, oh, well, you know, maybe my body's just tired. Maybe my body's just breaking down naturally from all the stress.
So how many surgeries have you had in total?
17.
Wow.
17 surgeries for various ailments.
Yep.
And so the 2001, what happened in 2001?
I had ovarian cyst burst. I had hernia surgery. I had a hernia. And then the next year was the shoulder. 2008, my gallbladder stopped working. And then in 2014, my appendix almost burst. It's been a struggle. I've had a thoracic outlet syndrome, which is very rare. It's where the...
Never heard of that.
Oh, no, it's rare. A few hockey players and baseball players and people who are using the motion of arms out, arms up, you know, basketball players up all the time, and then hockey players are constantly holding their stick. But that motion can cause the clavicle in your first rib, there's a nerve, an artery, and a vein that run through in between them. And at some point, the mine were squishing my nerves. Mm-hmm. So I had to go in and get my first ribs removed. And I said, can I keep them? And he said, absolutely.
So you have your first ribs?
Yeah. They're really tiny, too. Those are a couple of inches. It's hilarious. I might make earrings. I don't know.
Corey, that's a first. We've never heard that before, have we?
No, we have not. No.
That's right.
I'll
My
give
God,
you a lot of firsts. I'm a little crazy.
No, that's fine. So you dealt with this thoracic issue. What happened after that? Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to write this down because it's just
it's such a list of... I know. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
I bring a list to my doctor's offices. I list... Mm-hmm. All my issues, all my diagnoses, my medicines, my surgeries, my other doctors. And I just go, here you go. I'm not filling out that part. See attached.
Now, the stiff person syndrome, when was that diagnosed for you?
Well, I don't want to leave out the other part where all the autoimmune stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Started going crazy. So in 2017, I was working, I was doing great, you know, and then I lost 10 pounds in a week. So I go to my primary doctor and she goes, let me prick your finger. And she goes, it's 425. You're halfway to a coma. I said, that's great. So
what was the 425?
It was my blood glucose number. Which, for you, would be between 80 and 100, right?
And you're 425.
Yeah.
And so, what was her response to that?
We're going to hurry up and get you on some insulin, send you to an endocrinologist. So now I'm on I have an insulin pump, and I have, the Dexcom, the sensor on my arm that checks my sugars every 5 minutes ever since then. And I've always had this muscle spasm in the back of my scapula since like 2001. Mm-hmm. But with the type 1, my primary did, an autoimmune panel. Because normally when you have one autoimmune disease, you're likely to have another. It's just statistics. So I also have mixed connective tissue disease, which is rare as well, is a disease that overlaps with 5 different diseases. And you can have symptoms from a couple of the different diseases or all of them, which include lupus, RA, Sjogren's syndrome, scleroderma, and myositis. It can go away with medicine. Some people go into remission, but I didn't. And now I have, or you can be like me, where those overlap syndromes start showing their own antibodies. Like now I have antibodies for dermatomyositis, which is where your immune system attacks your skin and your muscles. And it's enough already. So,
yeah. Robin, when did cannabis enter the picture for you?
Well, thank you for asking. In 2017. So a few months after my diagnosis, my sister got diagnosed with cancer. And a friend of mine down there, cannabis user, I said, give me everything you got. She's going to need it. And it also stabilizes my sugars. Did you know that cannabis lowers your blood sugar?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, okay. I figured, but I'm just asking. Yeah, so it helps with that.
Okay, well, I'm confused. You're talking about your sister. Your sister got cancer. Ian's question to you was, when did you start using it? So I'm a little confused because you kind of segued on to the sister.
Is when I got everything for her for chemo and we were using it together and I felt so much better. My muscles, my pains, my joints. That's when I started using.
What were you using, Robin, exactly, please?
At the time. And then, you know, I added in cartridges, which are great. And oil.
Do you take the oil orally or suppository?
I take it orally, under my tongue.
Orally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How often do you take it?
Usually once or twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten to the point.
What's a typical day look like for you as far as your cannabis regime and how this affects you?
Well, when I wake up with this stiff person, I have to assess my body and see how it's feeling and, you know, what do I have to stretch out, wiggle, stretch. And I will have some in the morning, especially if I'm not feeling well whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I do flower. I have some salve and my pen. But when I'm just feeling like garbage or I'm having some anxiety, whatever's closest to me, that will do right now because I have a lot of hybrids.
Mm-hmm. So, Robin, when you wake up in the morning with this stiff person's thing, what would be like some of the stuff you'd be feeling? Kind of give us a glimpse into what that looks like to be living with this illness. What does it feel like when you wake up in the morning?
Sometimes I wake up, I have a constant spasm in my paraspinal muscle on the left side, which goes along your lower spine and out to your hips. So that's usually contracted. And sometimes I wake up and the legs are contracted. So I get up and, you know, I use my rollator to walk, which is really shuffling. And I also have drop foot because my left hip has fallen from the contractions. It's like my left shoulder comes inward. My rib cage is smaller on the left side due to the muscle contraction squeezing everything inward.
Mm-hmm.
Same with my leg. My leg is flat on the left side and it's hard to grow muscle. So every day is different. Let me tell you, every day is different. So I've been having days this week where at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I've had my muscle relaxer and I'm good, but then I start tensing up. So with me, I don't have really violent spasms. Everything just kind of comes to a standstill and I can't move. And if I'm lying down, my knees will come upward towards my chest and it's excruciating and it is so tiring. It just exhausts me.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. So what does a typical day of use look like for you then? So you wake up in the morning and is that going to depend on how intense your symptoms are, what you're going to choose to dose with?
Well, I never really learned dosing and that would be great if I could learn it. I just do what I have. And just guess at what to do. Mm-hmm. I heard other podcasts you've done with like thousands of milligrams. I'm like, I need somebody to tell me what to do. Maybe I'm just not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I do what I can to stay alive.
Robin, when you have all these health issues and you wake up in the morning not knowing how you're going to feel, how do you manage to deal with the mental aspect of all this?
Well, I am on Lexapro, which is an antidepressant. I have therapy every week. I have a best friend that I talk to almost every day on FaceTime, mm-hmm. who's also going through her own medical issues. So I think what's really hard is this disease is so isolating.
Mm-hmm.
I have a scooter that the VA gave me, but it's been cold. And I miss going outside. I went to Target last week with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a scooter. And I lasted a good hour or so. Because I just get very tired from going places. Like going to the doctor even exhausts me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
What do you think you'd be like without cannabis?
I'd probably be on some bad pain meds.
Mm-hmm.
My liver might have already killed me, or maybe I would have just jumped off a bridge. The pain, what's so excruciating about it, it's much better now after a couple of treatments. Like, the pain's not as excruciating, but it can be for a little bit here and there. I could even lie down flat without just pain all over the place, just sharp. Digging, ugh, terrible. Just terrible. I don't know how I got through that.
When you mentioned those treatments, what were those treatments?
Oh, right now I'm getting IVIG, which is intravenous immunoglobulin, blah, sorry.
Yep.
I'd have to look it up. So it's...
No worries.
It's plasma from people, so thank you to the plasma donors. Please keep donating. It gave me I get it every 4 weeks, and it's 3 days for 2 hours each because it's so intense.
Mm.
I think we have to shorten them because I think my symptoms are getting worse on the last week, so I think we need to increase them. Don't know if it works. Don't know if it's working. And next month, after my fourth treatment, we're going to check with Stiffperson. Most of us have GAD65 antibodies, which is usually a precursor to type 1 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. So if we check this antibody and it has gone down, then we know it's working. But it's unfortunately, I am a very impatient person right now. And I have to be really patient because there's only three options for this disease, which is IVIG, plasmapheresis, or a stem cell transplant. I'm for that, though. Then I won't have all these diseases.
You've admitted that cannabis has helped you. It's and very much. Let me back this up a bit. Prior to taking cannabis, at any time, did you feel like taking your own life because of what you've been through?
When I get those dark thoughts, it turns right into my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I can't take this anymore. And then I go, no, I've been through so much crap in my life and my kids need me.
Mm-hmm.
My kids need me. And it was just those dark feelings of, oh, this, you know, I can't go anywhere. I miss traveling. Nobody comes to visit, really. It's kind of sad. I moved to North Carolina and then I have one friend, but I haven't been able to go out and make more.
How many kids do you have?
I have two.
Two, okay.
Two boys and a grandson.
Oh, good for you. Do you talk to other people who were in the military who have suffered from various illnesses as a result of the anthrax?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I started to be a part of a nonprofit, Operation Truth, to try and get to the point where we get our crap together to go to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, no one's getting paid to do everything. And it's a slow get together of all the evidence that we have.
Yeah.
But we still keep in contact constantly. We're still sharing things that we find. And on Gulf War, like there are all these Gulf War illness and Desert Storm illness pages. We're all suffering from the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly autoimmune, pretty much.
Are there a number of people that have the actual stiff persons as well?
I only saw two people.
Mm.
On that Facebook, on one Facebook page, I had it. And I replied to them. And I hope nothing's happened to them. Because I haven't heard back, so.
Oh. Yeah, the interview that we did, when we do this interview with Jody Hendricks, episode 310 in 2021, he was he suffered from issues related to the anthrax vaccine. Developed cancerous growths all over his body as well as his lymph system.
Yeah,
it's it's really sad what you people had to endure and continue to endure as a result of that. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
At my vacation home somewhere in Europe.
That sounds good. Robin, it was great of you to share your story, and I'm sure it'll be of interest to someone around the world that you will influence, and it will help them. We thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Robin.
Before we go, I want to let our listeners know that you can help us spread the word about the amazing, often life-saving health benefits of cannabis just by sharing the podcast, writing a review, or rating us. We very much appreciate the help of everyone who's done that already, and we really like the 5-star ratings. We'd also like to thank those of you who support the show by making a one-time donation or a monthly donation on our Patreon page, which you can do for as little as $5 a month. It helps to keep us running. You'll find out how to do that on our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Thank you for your support. It means so much to us. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you. Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, host of Casually Baked, the podcast. If you're curious to explore the highly responsible side of cannabis, farming, and legalization, I'm here to help lighten the stigma and build your canna confidence. Download episodes now of Casually Baked, the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And journey with me through the evolving cannabis culture and discover how and why people like you are adding cannabis to their wellness toolkit. It's time to get casually baked.